What you're about to listen to was originally broadcast on 98.5 Sunshine FM, Perth, Western Australia. For more details, go to the website sunshinefm.ws.
I'm speaking this morning to Si Rogers, who's been described as a gifted international communicator, award-winning talk show host, recording artist and pastor. Si has served for over two decades in ministry and 17 years as a pastoral care specialist regarding sexuality. Welcome to Sunshine FM.
Hey, it's my pleasure to be back in Perth and to be talking with you today.
Yeah, I know you've been to Perth before. How many times have you visited us in the past?
I've been traveling to Australia for 17 years, and in fact, coming to Perth for almost a decade. So it's been a great experience for me to get to invest in what God is doing here in Australian culture, and also I've been very blessed to have a chance to, you know, be a part of what God is doing here. So we're glad to be back in town.
Yeah, I guess you would feel that you're more a part of it rather than someone who just comes in occasionally with an ongoing visits. You'd feel that you've had some sort of connection here.
Well, that's absolutely right. Some of the most wonderful mentoring I've received in my own ministry has come from Australian leadership, like Phil Baker hosting this event. So, you know, it's a very natural opportunity to connect here, and personally and professionally a real pleasure. In fact, you know, I've lived in New Zealand for about 4 years and nearby in Singapore for seven, so I've been in the region now for almost two decades.
You're almost a local.
I'm very happy about that. So we're looking forward, you know, to contributing here at the RISE conference.
I'm going to talk about the RISE conference in a moment because that's pretty exciting stuff. But I've got to say that a lot of your work deals with sexuality and what we might term as sexual brokenness. Why do you think it is that sexuality is still something that churches find it difficult to deal with?
Well, you say that so well, Rodney, because really it's kind of like the elephant in the living room that everybody obviously sees is there, but we feel uncomfortable talking about it. And oddly so, because, you know, modern culture is talking about sex every day from its perspective, and it's in pop culture, and it's in advice columns and magazines at the store. We have a natural human interest in sexuality because we are all sexual, which is precisely why media exploit that. So it's only natural and human to be interested in the topic, and we're all related to it. And that's why it's odd that church culture still echoes from a previous history that maybe didn't feel polite to talk about such things, but we've recognized over the years not talking doesn't help anybody. It doesn't make you healthier, it doesn't make you happier, and it doesn't help you resolve your problems. So I'm not here coming to town to talk about non-Christians and the way they live their lives. I'm here to talk about God's people who want to adhere to certain standards, who want a life yielded to God, and yet they find very often their sexuality interferes. And maybe that's something in the past that's haunting them, some issue, some weakness, some appetite that's never been quite corralled and addressed, and it trips them up and makes them feel ashamed. Some people who really are wrestling to make Jesus Lord, if you will, in this part of their lives where he is not. And so it's wonderful to have a chance to be able to represent God as our advocate. You know, for people listening who don't know, the Bible is full of wonderful illustrations where God redeems us out of our sexual problems. You know, Rahab the prostitute and Samson and King David and Mary Magdalene and the adulteress and the woman at the well, the New Testament church in Corinth, seven illustrations right there that remind us this is not new information to God. It's not cutting-edge ministry. It's something that's been part of Bible experience for centuries. So I think a lot of people who have sexual issues, they feel like they're bad and God is mad, and so they run away from God. They run away from the church, when actually quite the opposite is true. God has a history of understanding these themes and of putting us back on track if we've gone off track. You know, many people I work with have histories of childhood sexual abuse. They have histories where they've been exposed to pornography. They've been defiled. It haunts them. People who have been involved in sex, you know, before marriage, and still they're haunted by those memories that interfere with relationship today. People who are confused in areas of gender. All kinds of stuff are part of the human experience. And it's wonderful to be able to say, we serve a God who understands that. And he doesn't want you to run away from him. He wants you to run to him. So I delight traveling the world, being able to convey that message, and certainly bringing it here to Perth again.
You're saying about how people feel ashamed if they're struggling with sexuality, and yet so often we can go along to church or be involved in Christian activities, and we can say to people, oh, I'm having a struggle with this at the moment, or, you know, I'm doing this, or I'm doing that, and there's all these different things that we feel that we're allowed to talk about, and yet we're ashamed of sex, even though we know that it's something that God created.
Right, and again, it's that old mentality that says, Christian people shouldn't have these kinds of problems, and I'm the only one who must, because nobody else must be dealing with this. In fact, one time I remember in a service, a guy came up to me and he said, you know, I struggle with my sexuality. And I said, oh yeah, you too? Get in line. Get in line with the rest of humanity. Because the fact is, who doesn't struggle? You know, we're people with weaknesses, and we have insecurity and immaturity in our lives, and we also, you know, live in a culture that encourages us to be sexual, sometimes unwisely so, and out of the boundaries in ways that can hurt us and others. And then certainly I believe in a devil who may not make you do it, but he gives you opportunities to exploit that. And then also, you know, we've got our biological rhythms and urges, and on top of it, we all hunger to be loved. When you add up those five components together, who wouldn't have a little bit of struggle from time to time? And again, who better than God to understand that? And that's why I love the Christian faith, because Jesus shared our human experience. The Bible says, tempted in every way that we are. That's why he's our advocate, who empathizes with our plight. And we can turn to him with confidence. This is truth from the Bible, but as you well state, Rodney, so often not applied in the sexual arena. And that's why I'm glad to fill in that blank spot with wonderfully encouraging information. And as I always like to say, while I've been a Christian worker for 24 years and a pastoral worker in my field for about 2 decades, the best lessons I've learned in my journey don't come just, you know, through theory or even in serving others, but as a man who's been sexually broken myself, I've had to practice everything I preach to others. I don't think I've arrived and that I know everything, but walking with God for 25 years out of my broken history of abuse and confusion have helped me understand what works and what doesn't in dealing with this part of life. So, you know, I'm just glad to turn around and share the pages from my own journal, if you will, in helping other people that they can learn to move forward and be encouraged in God and what practical steps they can take to deal with some of this stuff.
It's a difficult thing for those of us who don't understand the struggles that others are going through. And I know that for myself, there are issues that I don't have to deal with that other people do. How can I support them? For instance, if I have friends who are dealing with the problem of homosexuality, how do I support them when I don't understand what they're going through?
Well, you know, coming out of that background myself, I will never forget many years ago, a gentleman who later became the best man at my wedding. I've been married for 22 years and I have a family. You know, it doesn't prove I'm not gay, but it's evidence of growth. As a person grows, things can change. You know, that's why I tell people who struggle with same-sex attractions, my goal isn't to make you straight. There's no advantage in that. My goal is that you live a life surrendered to God. And then, you know, God can work on stuff if he wishes, but the bottom line is, as you grow, things change. But getting back to your question, this guy who became the best man at my wedding, just an everyday blokey bloke kind of a guy without training in psychology, he said, you know, Si, I've never been like that, but I've struggled with lust, I've struggled with heartbreak, I've struggled with rejection and insecurity, and I figure if God can help me with my stuff, well, he can help you with your stuff, because your problems aren't about sex, your problems are just about being a human. And, you know, that was profound to me, Rodney. It literally gave me a paradigm shift realizing we really have much more in common than we don't. It may be different fruit, but we're all pretty much rooted in the same soil of our immaturity, our insecurity, and our defilements, and even if they manifest differently. It was very encouraging for me to realize that, okay, this guy may not have been down my path, but you know, deep down underneath all the surface stuff, he can understand what I'm dealing with. That gave me great encouragement. And so I hope that if anybody's listening right now, you don't have to know all about an issue to be able to relate to people. You just have to say, you know what? I may not be in your shoes, but I've had my own shoes to wear, and God can help me, and this is how he has. I believe he can help you too. So don't underestimate your ability to encourage somebody else.
I think we sometimes forget that the issues that we're dealing with are just as real and need to be dealt with just as much the issues that someone else has to deal with.
Oh, yeah. You know, again, the bottom line, the opposite of homosexuality or heterosexuality is simply holiness, submission to God. It may not always be purity. Holiness doesn't mean purity. Holiness means being set apart for God. Yes, Lord, I have these feelings. Or yes, Lord, I want those things. Or yes, Lord, I struggle with these desires. However, I want you, and I want you more than those things. Help me. You know, I can't think of a more honest prayer. And that's how I began to pray when I first came to the Lord. And I'm going to be sharing, you know, during my time here in Perth, some insights that relate to my journey and what's made the difference to keep me keeping on. That's why over the years of coming here, it's been such a pleasure to get to come back again and again, investing these insights that may not be all the answer, but they do help people, because historically in church culture, people aren't getting answers. So I'm very grateful to Riverview and the supporting churches in the community that are behind this kind of effort and give me opportunity to share.
I'm speaking this morning to Cy Rogers. We've been talking about some of the issues of sexuality that we can find it difficult to deal with, and some of the issues that we have with other people's sexuality and helping them to deal with that and being able to support people. Now, Cy, I notice on your website, cyrogers.com, that you've built yourself a bit of a recording career.
Isn't that the most funny? I mean, nobody's more surprised than I am. I started writing and singing nice, safe worship songs in church. And that's where I began. And then, about midstream in the early 1980s, the Lord began to inspire me to do urban electronica club music. And, of course, this was unheard of at the time. But one thing led to another. I began recording while living in Asia. It might not have happened for me in the U.S. with all the competition, but in Asia, the door opened for me to begin recording, and that first humble little album went to five continents. And so while I'm not a household word in this area, it's still been very nice for me to broaden my platform and provide me with a new kind of pulpit to speak into people's lives who might not ever care to dare to darken the door of a church. And, you know, I've done the four-continent world tour performing in clubs around the world with a European band that I was a lead vocalist for, performing an operetta about being wounded in life, being ripped off, and yet about God's character. And we would watch in these clubs as hardened, jaded faces would melt. And in fact, the director of the band I was with, called No Longer Music, the director of that band is David Pierce, and David got up one evening in this three-story disco in Europe, and he said, "Who here wants to know more about this God we've represented to you?" And here this party crowd on a Saturday night was just entranced, and they went out, you know, into the parking lot, and we had 1,500 people hear the story of the gospel, and over 500 give their lives to the Lord that one night. So it's tremendous opportunities to bring a knowledge of God's character to people who wouldn't come to church. It reminds me of Matthew's party, where, you know, Jesus went on their turf and turned it into God's turf to bring them good news about God's character, not just law, not a code of ethics, not a theological debate, but knowledge of God's character, which is so often lacking in our representation of God to the world. And my current album, Deep, I'm on the Parachute label worldwide. Deep had a DJ hit in the UK last year and some chart action in the US on MP3. And we're very thankful. I always joke that even though I'm old enough to be the father of everyone in my band, Cher gives me hope. So, I love to do the music and just, again, package concepts about God and my experience in life in a way that I hope will encourage people. And plus, we got some good club music. So come to my website at cyrogers.com. You can download some MP3.
Yeah, I got to say, you do a wonderful version of Betty Davis Eyes.
Hey, thank you. You know, that was produced. That was my previous album called Communicate. And that was produced right here in Australia, recorded in studios in Melbourne. My wonderful producers, Ashley Reeder and Adrian Hannon, did a great job on that album, including that wonderful cover of Betty Davis Eyes. Thanks for that.
Yeah, now, going back to what you said about going into the clubs and seeing people respond, do you think that people seem more willing to embrace God when they realize that God's prepared to go to them and not just call them to come to a church that they find foreign?
I think everybody, you know, I so agree with what you're saying. I think, as the old saying goes, the old cliche, you know, this knowledge, we're all hardwired to know God. This is called the evangelist's advantage. Every evangelist is advantaged because every human is wired somewhere down inside to know and recognize and respond to God. And granted, God is mysterious and we can't tangibly touch him. At the same time, there is something historically evident over the centuries. Humans are religious, they are spiritual, and they respond to a deity, a God. And at the end of the day, you know, we believe God is revealed as a loving Father and a Redeemer and in Christ. And he is the way to the Father. And so we are already speaking to an audience that has a knowledge of this, even if they're running from God, even if they're saying they're atheist, even if they're angry at God. You know, in these clubs, we would notice, Rodney, people were not saying, "Is there a God? I don't believe you." Instead, they were saying, "If there is God, why is there so much pain and suffering in the world or in my own life?" And God's Word talks to these things very directly. God tells us in the Word, of, you know, the Bible, why it is all this suffering happens. In fact, you come to my website, I've got an article there which talks further on this concept. So I've had to work through this. Why, God, did you let me be sexually abused as a child? Why, God, did you let my mother die in a car wreck? Why, God, was I abandoned by my father? Where were you? And I love Psalm 10. It says, the victim cries out to God. Where were you, God? Why did you let me suffer? How long must I endure the consequences of this? But around verse 12 or 13, God begins to respond. I do see it. It does matter. I will intervene. I will rescue you from the oppression of this if you will turn to me. So instead of shaking your fist at God, I always encourage the audience, it's one thing to be mad. It's one thing to be sad. Don't run away from God. Pour out your complaint and run to him with it and see what he might do to compensate you. Because I do believe if God allows us to suffer, God will also assume responsibility to work it out if we will yield to him. So I don't say that cavalierly, even if I say it briefly. I really hope that those listening will consider what I'm saying if they too have suffered. People are much more open than I had realized.
You're in Perth, as you mentioned, for the RISE conference. That's coming up this Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Are these some of the themes that you'll be touching on during RISE?
Some, yes. Of course, having come to Perth many times, I've got really quite a catalog of material available as previous messages, which anyone listening, if they're curious, they can always be in touch with Riverview Church here in town to find out various messages that I've offered in previous visits. And I'll be building on top of that foundation. But we've got specific themes being available to our audience this coming RISE conference about anticipating God's work and abiding in God and relating to him and others. And at the end of the day, even the sex stuff that I talk about is got underlying themes in how I relate to God and everyone else. And so that will be part of what we're talking about. As always, I'll be offering my Psy in the Hot Seat question and answer, where people get to ask me their questions about sexuality and God and culture and myself. So we're very happy to be able to serve as honestly as we know how. But yeah, we're going to take a look at the role relationships played in making my life better. We're going to take a look at wide-ranging stuff that I hope will serve to inspire and equip people. But they can certainly come to RISE or even the Riverview site online and find out more information about the specifics that will be offered from day to day.
RISE happens this coming Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, and people can get in touch with Riverview to find out more, or we've got links to RISE on our own website at sunshinefm.ws. So I'm sure there'll be plenty of people coming along and meeting up with you and asking you some hard questions, so you better be ready.
We'll try, because, you know, I don't think I know everything, but again, I've had to dig around and find out answers, because I believe there are answers to questions, and I don't mind people's good critical questions. I just, you know, pray I will be able to encourage them, especially closer to God. And also, obviously, at the RISE conference, there's such a wonderful menu of other good speakers available and events happening that I think all the way around it'll be yet another great package to educate and inspire and encourage you.
It's been great talking to you. I've been speaking with international communicator and pastor Psy Rogers. Thanks so much for your time.
Oh, it's been my pleasure, Rodney. Thanks again. We'll look forward to seeing you.
Thank you.
For more details on this and other programs, contact 98.5 Sunshine FM, Perth, Western Australia, via the website sunshinefm.ws. All material is subject to copyright.